Hello, yes, it's Francesca Ines. Hello, how can I help?
Hello, I got a missed call from you this morning.
Hiya, yeah, it's Francesca, that was me. I'm calling in regards to your application to the Scottish Redress Scheme. Is now a good time to talk?
Yes,
Yeah, perfect. So before we begin, I just need to take some details for data protection, is that okay?
Okay, hen.
Yeah. So would I be able to get your full name, please?
Joyce Hunter.
Yeah, and we've got on file here, middle name is Nana. Is that taken from Facebook?
Yes, and that's Joyce Nana Hunter.
So is that your middle name or is it a
Oh, it's
just
just.
like a nick? Okay, that's okay. And your date of birth, please?
12/7/58.
12th of the 7th.
1958.
Perfect. And your current address?
47 Mitchell Avenue, Westbourne, Cambuslang. Lang.
And your postcode?
G727SC.
Sorry, if I go quiet at all, I'm just popping all the information on the file, that's all. And did you happen to recall your address prior to being in care?
I do. Now, wait a wee minute. It was, and I'm going back a lot of years here.
That's okay. Just the general area.
I think it might have been 12 Caledonian Circuit.
Caledonian Circuit. And what area was that in?
Cambuslang.
In Glasgow, yeah?
Yes, and I.
Perfect. And are you registered with a GP at the moment that I'd be able to take the name of, just like the surgery itself?
Yes, at the Dr. Lowe.
Yeah, and what surgery is he at?
North Avenue Surgery, Cambuslang.
And would I be able to take your parents' names?
My parents,
Yeah.
my mum was Charlotte. You want a full name?
Yeah, if possible.
Right. Charlotte Caldow.
How am I spelling that one? Sorry.
CALDOW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whiteford. And her married name is Hunter.
About Whitford, did you say?
Sorry.
What was the surname? Sorry.
Hunter.
Hunter. So would you have been Charlotte Caldwell before, yeah?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Charlotte Caldwell Whiteford was her original name.
So when we try and access your records, a lot of the time if you're under 18, they put in your parents' names. And then do you recall your father's name?
Yes, it's well, it was William Russell Hunter.
Perfect. And were you ever known by any other names whilst in care?
No, hey.
No, always Joyce Hunter, yeah?
Just Joyce Hunter, aye.
So, see, I understand that discussing experiences connected to this can be quite difficult and upsetting. So, please take your time during the call, okay? And if you need a break or any extra explanation or support, just let me know, okay?
Okay.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or anything you'd like to make me aware of?
I've got depression and mental health issues then.
Okay, so just take your time, okay? And if you need a break, just let me know.
Right.
So the purpose of today's call, so I'll explain the scheme to you, we'll go through your options, and then I'll explain how INS Law operates, go through all the funding and fees, and we'll gather some initial information to assess whether and how we can assist you. Is that all okay?
Hi, hen.
Yeah, perfect.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
What is this for? What's it to do with? Is it?
So the Scottish Redress Scheme. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004.
Okay, Henry, I just needed to get that right.
Yeah, no problem. So we'll go through your options first, so decide whether to instruct us. So you're able to, so you can apply to the redress scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme, and then they're paid directly by the government for helping you with your application. So under the government scheme, the solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for helping you, whether you're successful with it or not. So with us, with INS Law, we don't operate under the statutory schemes. We don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we're not paid by the government for assisting you. And would I just be able to confirm that you've not instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to Scottish
No, Hen, I've
legal?
never. I've just seen it on Facebook and.
Yeah, I thought you'd go for
Aye.
it.
Am I? You'll try anything.
Yeah, me as well. So just confirm, so do you understand everything so far? Do you have any questions?
Aye, Hen, no, that's fine with me.
So our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice again, you pay nothing. So if you're successful and you receive the redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees, including the VAT, they're capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of your redress payment, and you never pay more than the agreed cap. So again, so it's a no-win, no-fee, so there's no prior fees. It's only if you're successful, and it's got the cap on it as well. Is that all okay?
That's fine, Hannah.
Yeah. So I just want to make clear as well, so we can't guarantee that you'll be successful with the application or the level of award the scheme may give you. So they operate on a discretionary basis. I can explain that in greater detail during the call as well. If you instruct us, so what we help with, so we go through your eligibility to apply, we gather and review all the evidence on your behalf, and then we prepare and submit the application as well for you. We do all the correspondence with the scheme, so you don't have to do any of that one, and then we can advise you on any offers made. We'll explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered, and then we can assist you with any reconsideration or review processes within the scheme if you're unhappy with the outcome. So the statutory waiver, so if an offer is made, we'll fully explain it when that time comes, if you get offered the payment, and it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you're not expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. Is that all okay?
Aye.
Yeah, perfect. So with us, you have the right to cancel as well. So if you decide to proceed, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. We can also, so you can authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah, and
Yeah, perfect. So following this call as well, I'll send over an email so we can act formally for you. We require proof of identity and address. So it'll be a photographic ID, so a passport or a driving license or a birth certificate as well, we can accept. And then a proof of address, so a letter that has your full name, current address, and then a date stamp within 3 months of today's date. Are you able to provide those?
I can get one of my neighbours today, and I don't do emails and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not
that's
problem.
okay.
It's no
So
problem
we have a WhatsApp as well, if that would be any easier for you to take
with
photos
that.
and send them on that or not. But either way, whatever works easier for you.
Okay, then.
Okay. So before we begin, so would you be ready to move on to the application section?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. So just a few more questions about personal details. Regarding contacting you, it's usually phone, email, or text. Are they all okay?
Yes.
Yeah. And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
Well, I've got COPD and emphysema, Hen, and I've got brittle bone. I've got osteoporosis.
I'll answer the file for you, okay? And then regarding your application, you're able to add a beneficiary on. So if anything was to happen to you while the application is in progress, it would be moved on to them. So would you like to do that?
Yeah, Hen.
Yeah, would I be able to take the full name, please?
That would be my son, James William Hunter.
And his date of birth?
the 1st of the 2nd, 1978.
And do you have a telephone number or an email address for him?
Oh, I've not got it on me, Hen.
That's okay if you want. I can add it at a later date. If you wanted to email it over to me or something, I can add it then.
Right.
And do you recall, do you know his address, or is that something you'd like to send later?
It's just addressing.
His house is like, yeah, his house address.
Yeah, this is my, it's my address. He lives here.
Same, okay, perfect. No problem. It's got 47 Mitchell Avenue, yeah? And with a couple of impact factors, so have you received any relevant payments or criminal injuries compensation, or anything related to the abuse, court awarded damages, or anything like that?
No, hen. No. No.
And do you have any criminal convictions?
No.
No, perfect. So moving on now, just jump onto the case settings. So would you be able to tell me the names of the case settings you were in, and then if you can recall approximate like dates you were there?
I was in a, before I got sent to Edinburgh, I was in a an assessment centre for 3 months, Calder House in Blantyre.
Yeah. 3 months, did you say?
Yeah.
And what year would that have been?
Oh, my. Years ago.
So no. How old you were, approximately?
I'd be about 13, 14 then.
About 72, 1971.
Aye, aye.
Yeah. That's okay. We'll be able to access all this information if you choose to instruct us, and we'll get all your records through anyway.
Aye.
The approximates, that's all. And then where were you placed after that?
I was placed in Dr. Guthrie's Girls' School, Gilmerton Road, Edinburgh.
How long were you there for?
Oh, just over a year.
And is there any more care settings?
Any.
Any more care settings you were in?
No, hen, just there.
Those two, yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, 2 seconds. So in regards to those case settings now, I just need to take some statements of your time while you were there. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll just go through the overview of it. So why you were placed there, any incidents you can recall, how you felt, any long-term effects it's had on you, anything you experienced while you were there. So would you be able to talk me through the assessment centre first?
Yes, I.
So why were you first placed there?
Because I was a bit boisterous, so I was a tearaway, but there was abuse. I was abused in my family, and I just took it on myself and self-destructed, and they sent me away. They couldn't cope. And then when I went into the Dr. Guthrie's, I tried to tell him, and nobody would listen to me.
In regards to any abuse you experienced at Calder House, are there any incidents that you can recall, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, anything?
Just the exercises. They kept doing it. You had to keep going and keep going and keep going, and you weren't allowed to stop till the full exercise was finished. Calder House wasn't too bad. I tolerated that. I got on with the people in there, but it was Dr. Guthrie's that I didn't know.
Okay. So in Calder House, so you said they forced you with exercise and pushed you past like breaking points and.
Yeah, just to see how much you could tolerate and if you could withstand the heat in the kitchen, if you will.
Was there any other forms of abuse, any neglect, or in a way that you weren't cared for in the way you should have been? Anything emotional?
No, in Calder House. No.
No problem. And then following that, did you leave that with them because they found a place for you in the Dr. Guthrie School?
They didn't want me anywhere local. They wanted to move me away out of the city, and my mum and my dad agreed with it, so.
The assessment centre wanted to move you as far away?
Aye.
Would you be able to talk me through your time there?
Well, the first day I got there, I was treated like I don't know. I was made to sit in a chair, a wooden chair, and told not to move. I was made to sit in a wooden chair and told not to move till somebody came and got me. It was like a big house. You went through into this big hallway and you had to sit outside the headmaster's office and just wait till somebody came and got you.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I knew, I was naked in a it was about 12 baths in the one room, and there was a woman there and we had to strip down and get into cold baths, and they poured, they called it jungle juice. They poured it over you and made you scrub. And then you would go out and they would make you put this nightgown thing on. And you'd sit there till it was time to get moved into your dorm.
So you said they after the bath, then they made you put on a nightie and take you to the dorms?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was on your very first day?
That was the very first day. You had to go through all that, make sure you didn't bring anything in you, and they searched all your body and everything, make sure you didn't take contraband or anything in. I know that now, but I didn't know that then. That's what they were doing.
When they searched you, what did they do?
Searched behind my ears, looked in my privates.
Like you were in a prison, I guess.
Aye, I've never experienced anything like it. It's just horrible. And if you cried, they told you there'll be a lot more tears to come, so you might as well stop now. And they didn't have any sympathy.
What did they say when you cried?
No point in crying. There's going to be a lot more tears to come. Might as well stop now. We were told that often.
Well, there was more. You were going to end up crying more, so you may as well stop now.
There was going to be more tears the length of time I was in, basically, so I might as well get used to it.
You mentioned, obviously, when on your first day, there was forms of, they went near your private areas and stripped you naked. The forms of abuse, what did you suffer while you were there?
What did I?
So the different types of abuse, if there was any physical or anything like that,
There was a teacher, I can't remember what his name was. I can see his face is standing right there in front of me, you know, big, tall, white-headed man. He slapped me across the face and told me, hey, stop the crying, and he sat me in this big room all by myself. It was like a big gym hall.
Yeah.
And I sat there till I stopped the crying. And then, because I answered them back, and Dr. Guffey had all different sections, and one part of the house, there was like a the very top floor, they had a cell, like a wee jail cell, a locked room, and I get put in that with no lights and just a wee mattress to lie on. I get put in that and I was kept in there all night. I gave myself friction burns and whatever, because this man just I don't know, he just didn't like me at all for the day ago.
Yeah. So you spoke back to him when because he told you to stop crying and they took you upstairs?
I put me in that, and there's nobody else on that side of the building. It was only me, just one person on that big side of the building, and everybody else was on the opposite side of the building in their beds. So it was terrifying because you've no lights and you hear noises and you don't know what's going on.
So you were deprived of everything. You just had a mattress. So how long will they keep you in this?
No lights, no nothing here.
And how long would they leave you in this cell?
To the next morning.
Were you given any food or anything?
No.
Are there any other incidents that you can recall?
There was loads of them, but it's trying to remember them all, and because a lot of them you put to the back of your head and you don't want to remember.
Yeah, it's completely understandable.
I had to brush all the landing and the toilets with a toothbrush. On my hands and knees, I wasn't good any cloth to lean on or anything, so my knees, everything was a lot sore.
Yeah.
You just
forced to do things that you just didn't want to.
They showed me how to use a buffer. I know you know what a buffer is, don't you? It's to polish floors.
Yeah.
They should have. I was showed how to use that, and because the buffer had slid because it was too heavy, and because it slid and knocked against the skirting board, and I'd left a mark. That was another punishment.
Did you get taken back to that cell?
No. That was my one and only time in that cell. I made sure I wasn't going back there. I'd do anything not go back there. But the punishment was we had to go down into the laundry and we didn't... I think they had a contract or something with people. We washed all the sheets, the beddings and everything in these big dryers. And you weren't allowed to come out for fresh air. The door was locked. You had to be in there along with all the steam and everything was finished.
How did you feel while you were there?
Useless, worthless, nothing, nobody cared. They put me in there out of sight, out of mind. It was just me against the world at that time. It was just them for yourself. So, and whenever they took us out in a bus run, people knew who we were and where we were from. And they took us to the Dr. Guthrie's boys' school. They had a wee tiny swimming pool. Well, I couldn't swim. And because I was scared, they threw me in. And you'll learn. And when they threw me in, I had to struggle to get to the top. I had to basically teach myself how to swim and to get to the top of the water.
Yeah.
The girls weren't allowed to mix with the boys. We made appointments for the lads to go and get a wee time in the swimming pool. That wouldn't have held any more than 10 people. It was just a wee pokey swimming pool.
They just watched you struggle.
Aye. You had to learn the hard way then.
Yeah.
There were no armbands or anything you'd see these days, eh?
Yeah. And how would you say it's affected you in the long term?
Long term, I try not to think about things then, but it only takes one wee thing to loosen that key at the back of your head. I mean, I've not told my kids happy, but they don't need to know that. They know things happened back then, because I didn't want them to know about the abuse or anything like that, because it's don't want to frighten them, but I protected them. I made sure I was protecting my wings. That was the only strong thing about me when I had kids. That was my goal. I was looking after my kids, even though my mum and dad did, well, I thought they didn't care about me, so. But when I told them about the abuse at home, them and Dr. Guthrie's, they told me to wash my mouth with the soap. Shouldn't be saying things like that. I was told that and never to repeat it again.
So you told a staff member.
I told the headmaster. Was only one teacher in there, and she was good too. And I told her, I can't even remember what her name is. She was lovely, and I told her that she couldn't do nothing for me because she was just an assistant, so there was nothing she could do.
No.
She couldn't take it to somebody else to report it, or she'd lose her job.
Yeah. And she said that he told you to wash your mouth out with soap.
Yeah, killed me. Disgusting what I was saying. I shouldn't be talking like that, and where I get that, like where I get all this nonsense food that's coming out my mouth. Your mouth needs to be washed out with carbolic soap. And then after that, I thought to myself, maybe it is me, maybe I'm just making it up, because nobody wanted to know, nobody wanted to listen. Was just like a vicious circle then, going to one place, the abuse to another place, the abuse.
Was there any other so any sexual or physical abuse while you were there?
No, the man that I was telling you about, he would touch my boobs. He would sit next to me, and then he would wait till people were on the lookout and touch my boobs, and I would try and kind of shrug him off, and he would just grab my hand and make me sit there. It was a big giant, yeah, man, so I couldn't do nothing against him. He used to rub my leg up and down the top of my thigh. And then I got a pal. This lassie came, and she could see what he was doing, and she started watching everything and kept me away from him.
Yeah. Took advantage of his size and the fact that you couldn't do anything.
No, because I'm still the man. It's not as if I could have kicked him in the ankles and run away.
Yeah. So I've written all this up now, so I'll get it put into a statement for you. Is there anything else that you would like to add to it?
Know that I can think off the
No.
top of my head. As I say, once it's in there, just locked away.
That's okay. So in regards to this now, so this is the initial statement that we put through for the application to get it accepted, and so we can progress and then get hold of all of your reports, and then down the line, then there'll be a thing with one of my colleagues, a witness statement. It'll be in further detail. So once we have all your reports and records with time frames and any medical records and things like that, is that okay?
That's fine here
Yeah,
now.
no problem. Okay. So I'll get this written up for you. So in regards to the applications, there's two types that we can pursue. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, regardless of the abuse you suffered, it's a fixed amount, or there's the individually assessed payments up to £100,000, and that's decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you suffered. So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything we've spoken about today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment. Is that okay?
I had no clue what you just said, but I okay.
So there's a fixed payment of $10,000, and it is an application sent forward without the statement section and extra evidence and things like that. Or there's the one where you can get up to £100,000. So we put forward them with the statement and all the records and evidence we find. You can get up, so you may as well.
I forget some. That's no hand. It's all right.
Yeah, so you won't be required to attend any meetings with the scheme in person. So we provide the statement on your behalf to the scheme. So there's no, you don't have to do any correspondence with them.
Uh-huh.
So following this now, so I'll get this all written up and make sure it's all correct. And then I'll send you out then the contracts to sign. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed with us. So just take a look at those. And then if you're happy then, to sign. And then we can start then the work immediately, so we can send it over to redress. So it'll be a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority. So that then gives us permission to access records on your behalf.
Right.
And then I'll send over then the two contracts then, so it'll contain all of your personal details, and then one then that will have the care settings on the statement section in.
Right.
So I'll send those over to you within the hour. Would you like me to give you a call when I send them over? If you have any questions, you want to go through anything?
You don't have to give me a call, Hen. You just... whatever comes, I'll get one of my neighbours to sort it out for me.
Yeah, okay, no problem. And then I'll send over then the email about the proof of address and identity, so you can send over those documents as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get this sent over to you within the next half an hour, probably, okay?
Okay, madam.
Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay. No. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate you sharing that with me. Obviously, I understand it's very difficult to do.
I know, it must be hard for you to listen to as well.
Yeah.
it's worth
for you guys to speak about it. I appreciate that the trust, obviously, it takes a lot, doesn't it, to share, so.
Right, yeah, and that's smashing. You do what you've got to do, and
we'll do our very best. I'll send these over to you shortly, okay? If you have any questions, give us a call or email. And so this is the number I'll be calling from as well, if you wanted to save it, just in case.
Right. Okay, Hen. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.